If Wiz Khalifa offers you a joint,
it doesn't matter.
No matter where you are in the world and what country you're in and how illegal it is, you have to do it.
For sure.
Yeah, you don't say no. It's like Snoop Dogg. You just don't say no.
You could not say no to Snoop Dogg.
It's a disrespectful thing to do.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the only podcast that matters. We are joined here with our first official guest, first person we're interviewing. I'm just going to get right into it, introducing Casey Adams.
What's going on, everybody? Happy to be here.
Casey is 20 years old. Famous birthday said you're from Virginia.
Yes, that is true.
That is true?
Yes.
Okay, cool. We had another thing that said you're from Kansas, so we weren't sure. He founded and invested in a few different businesses. He's an actual author. He's a top 50 podcast host. And I would call you the Gary V of Gen Z.
I love it.
So welcome out here. Are you from California? Where are you currently living?
I currently live in Los Angeles. I actually just moved out here 2 months ago with Jacqueline. I lived in Scottsdale for 2 years and grew up in Virginia for 18 years. But finally out here in the West Coast.
You brought the girlfriend out here. I noticed that. She's watching the podcast live right now. So I want to dedicate this podcast to the 15-year-olds, to the 40-year-olds, whoever you are in the world. What I think Casey has accomplished is really impressive. You really have like created your own lane. And I kind of want to, the things we're going to talk about, I think will really inspire people from all over the world, you know, wherever they are, whatever they're doing. I think just everything you've accomplished is insane. And that's a big reason I wanted to have you on the podcast.
I appreciate it, bro.
Yeah, let's just like get right into it. Like where did Casey Adams' life start? Like, you do so much, man. You're a podcast host, author. You do all sorts of things. How did you get, like, why are you sitting here right now?
Dude, I love that question. And it's actually crazy because I'm 20 years old now, like you said. And 5 years ago when I was 15, I had a neck injury that just opened up my entire life, which, to make things simple, I was in a neck brace for 6 months. And this happened due to a football injury. It was the first time we were playing with our pads on. It was sophomore year of high school, and the first day I do this drill and I end up getting slammed to the ground. Neck had this excruciating pain, and
you're how old?
I was 15 at the time.
Okay.
But for those that don't know, like I said, I'm from Virginia. I grew up playing sports my entire life. Played hockey for 10 years. I played lacrosse for 6, and then I got into football around 8th, 9th grade, and I was like, let's go. It was about to be an amazing season this upcoming year. I was playing for the varsity team, and like I said, it was the first day of hitting practice. This is where everything changed, and I think I want to start with this because I feel like everyone has a moment in their life that they can reflect on to say, hey, this is when things changed. This is when things became different for me. And I remember I slammed my head in the ground, and it wasn't like a injury that I instantly was rushed to the hospital, but I remember I got hit the ground and I had this crazy pain in my neck, and I was like, that hurt. So I woke up the next morning and I remember like I could not move my neck like left to right at all.
You went a whole day?
Whole day, yeah. I slept on it. I'm like, I'm good. I'll be back at practice in the next couple of days. It's just kind of like, it's sore. And I told my mom, I'm like, I cannot move my neck. It's an excruciating pain. Let's definitely go get some x-rays. Go to the doctor, walk in the room, and I'm this like 15-year-old kid expecting to walk out there, take some medicine.
Normal hospital visit.
So get the x-rays, doctor comes in, I'm sitting there with my mom. He says, I have some good news and I have some bad news.
Which one did you take first?
I got the good news first.
Okay. That's where you f***ed up.
He goes, well, the good news is you're not paralyzed.
That's good news.
Great news. And the bad news is you can never play football again and you have to be in a neck brace for 6 months. And he just said it like that. And I'm this 15-year-old kid. I hear this, and one, I don't believe it.
Yeah,
two, I'm like, I get this defensive mode. I'm like, what do you mean? That's not possible. He starts like unpackaging this neck brace that's like this contraption of plastic and Velcro,
how it works.
Yeah. And I'm just like denying it. But it was that day where like my entire life changed. I lost, I guess you could say, my identity when it comes to playing football, being on a sports team, mm-hmm. like being in high school. And at the time, like, I wasn't doing anything really business related at all. I was always very ambitious as a kid, but it was that moment that changed everything, that set me into a new direction of personal development and getting into advertising and just building a brand. But that's the start of my story, and to answer your question, what led me here was that moment.
Really?
For sure, 100%.
So you were at like in your 15-year-old self's eyes, you were at an all-time low. Like, you couldn't play sports again. And also, you're a really active kid. Like, I've seen you doing massive jumps on snowboards.
Yeah, yeah.
So I could understand how that would feel coming from like, someone who, like, lives off of going to the skate park and doing action sports and stuff. So you're in a really, really bad spot. You're 15 years old. Where, like, were you Googling on the internet, like, how to make money? Like, where did you go, I'm going to do this. I'm going to start a podcast. I'm going to write a fucking book when I'm 17. Like, where did those things start? You had to be inspired by somebody.
For sure, for sure. So to take things back also, like, I come from a very small town in Virginia. My mom and dad, they've been together for 25 years, and I've had a great upbringing. I have two older brothers, and I was the younger brother where I would always see what my brothers were doing, right? Like, I saw them go to high school first. I saw them go to college and drop out. So I always had a unique perspective about, like, what I wanted to do with my life, and I wanted to not do what they did because I wanted to carve a new lane for myself. And for reference, like I said, my brothers went to community college. They dropped out. And I always knew I wanted to do something different. I didn't want to just work a 9-to-5, do the normal thing you would do. Like, I remember one time my mom made me apply for a job at this pizza restaurant, and I ended up doing it, but I didn't show up to the next one because I just didn't want the job.
Yeah, okay.
But long story short, when I was in this neck brace for 6 months, I had time to think, and I believe that was the most important thing for me, because prior to that, I was going. You have school, you have football, you have, you know, my family. I'm just juggling all these different things. And when I got injured, it was like halfway through the summer. So when this happened, I was locked in my room. I couldn't go out. I was in pain, and I was just stuck in this environment of thinking, right? So I was spending a lot of time on my phone, on YouTube, just browsing. And, you know, so I came across this guy, Ty Lopez. Are you familiar with him?
I am very familiar.
Wait,
yes.
Did you see, like, the ad?
Yeah, 100%.
On a YouTube video, you saw the Ty Lopez ad.
Ty Lopez ad. This is literally 2015, like, peak Ty Lopez.
You know what I like a lot more than these Lamborghinis?
Books. Yep. Knowledge.
So this
knowledge.
It's crazy. Like, this is a full circle story. So I see this ad, and he talked about health, wealth, love, and happiness. And I'm sitting there depressed, not knowing what I want to do with my life.
With none of those things.
With none of those things. I'm not happy. I'm depressed. And I'm like, huh. I click on the ad. And I'm not the typical person where I'm clicking on ads all the time. This is just, he stood out to me. I clicked it and started, you know, listening to this guy.
Okay. You bought his course?
I ended up I bought his 67-step program. Okay. It was my buddy, Alaric, and I. We, like, split it. It was like $30 each. It was like $67. And here's the thesis of it. It was a video a day for 67 days. And for those that don't know, it was a program about self-development. And he took everything that he's learned from his mentors and what he's learned from reading thousands of books and just broke it down into a very easy to understand course. And that was talking about when it comes to wealth or happiness or starting businesses. And it was a very fundamental program. But for me, that filled a void for me because I had—
Just paying attention to it was filling the void?
Yeah, like I wasn't doing anything with my time.
It was a positive light.
Yeah, it was a positive light. I was attracted to it. He was talking about the simple rule of the law of 33%, surrounding yourself with mentors that are 30% like higher level than you that you want to learn from, 33% of the time with people that are on your level that you can grow with, and then spending 33% of the time helping others that are, you know, that people that you can inspire. And this is the first time I was hearing all of this information, whether that's like your network is your net worth and all these like cliche things.
I love it, bro.
But I was like, this is like, I feel this. And I was always following like Gary Vee and all these different guys online. But I just like went into this rabbit hole where I started following all these people online. I started investing into myself, started reading more books than I've ever have in, like, through my entire childhood. And throughout that program, I got introduced to digital advertising and building a personal brand and putting out content on social media. And it was this 6 month window of just massive personal development that I grew as a person. And by the end of that, by the time I took that neck brace off, I was in a completely different lane. I was doing
snaps. You weren't even worried about not going back to football.
Absolutely. I was like, that's a waste of time now. I want to focus on building a business, building a brand, and actually start more thinking about my future. Uh-huh. And this is like sophomore year for reference. But yeah, it was watching that ad and then just starting to fully immerse myself into this business development and personal growth world.
What was like the first steps you did? Like, what was like the first thing
So actually, I know we were texting about this morning. Gary Vee, I read his book. It was called Crushing It back then. And I mean, Crush It and then Crushing It.
I have a copy of that.
Yeah. It's about building a personal brand and building a business with that. And I was always someone that used social media, but I was never, like, when I was 15, I wasn't building a brand. I wasn't putting out content. So a switch went off in my head where I was like, hey, like, I just had this crazy injury. I can tell this story. I'm coming out of it. I'm reading all these books. I'm growing my knowledge in different areas. Let me just start doing like book reviews. And I started actually doing book reviews on Snapchat, and I started building the Snapchat audience and doing a little bit on Instagram, but I built this audience of like 10 to 20,000.
Because you just decided I like books.
Yeah. I was like, this is my
lane. Just like Gary says.
Yeah. And everyone's different. And like for me back then, it became something I'm obsessed about when it comes to just not only reading a book, but learning from successful people. Okay. Because I had no mentors besides my parents at that time. Like seeing other people on social media, like, there's a sense of inspiration, but in my small town of Virginia, like no one leaves town, okay. No one travels internationally. It's a very narrow-minded, closed-minded world.
So this brings me to my next question.
Seeing like people, you know, on social media, killing it, crushing it, having their own businesses, traveling, meeting great people. And I was like, I do not want to stay in Virginia. And that was like the tail end of 2016 leading into 2017 when I became obsessed with like, how can I go to events? How can I start meeting more people? How can I start networking? Because I was trapped in this little bubble of Chesterfield County, which was just sucking my energy at the time. And I just wanted to leave and get out there and start traveling.
Dude, wow. Okay, cool. So that, again, perfectly brings me to my next question. I know you're, like you said, those cliche sayings, you know, your network is your net worth, all that stuff. A famous one is you are who you surround yourself with. So who are some people you aim to surround yourself with, whether it's like consuming their content or it's like in person, you've developed like actual friendships
totally.
With these people?
Yeah, no, that's a great question.
Over the last maybe 5 years.
Yeah. I mean, I think for me, like as I said at the beginning, I have a podcast and I've done almost 300 interviews now. And when I started it in 2017, my intention was to build a show where I can just surround myself with great people. I remember I was 17 and I was like a year and a half after I got into this whole world and I was building a brand. I was like, fuck it, I want to start a podcast because I want to continue to build and grow these relationships in
my life by having
deep conversations.
That's the exact reason you're sitting here right now.
Absolutely.
Because last year, we've known each other for a couple of years, but you reached out and said, hey, you want to do a podcast? I was like, I haven't really done a lot, but sure.
Yep.
And then here we are, full circle.
And it's a great way to like build deeper relationships with people when it comes to, you know, let's say we knew each other and we're following each other on social media. And like having a podcast, this is what Gary Vee actually taught me. And a funny story. So I read his new book, Crushing It. And at the end, this was like early 2017 before I started the show. And it talked about starting a podcast and how to use it to leverage relationships and meet new people. So I DM'd Gary on Instagram and we ended up like setting up a meeting in New York City. And I made a goal to myself to start my podcast and do 60 interviews before I met with him. So now I'm like in my bedroom in Virginia doing all these Zoom interviews, sliding in people's DMs, trying to get as many as I can. And long story short, I meet with Gary. I have like 60 interviews under my belt. Some of them are like with Drama from Young and Reckless and Adam 22 and like some cool people that he knew. And that's actually how I met Roger, funny
enough. Your filmer.
And, but no, like to your question, like networking has always been the most critical thing for me because it's opened up every business opportunity when it comes to deal flow, when it comes to deal making.
And I think any like smart and like good-headed person knows that.
Absolutely.
Your network is so important and the people you know and the relationships you build.
Yeah, for sure. And for me, it's crazy because when I started the podcast, like I was interviewing good friends of mine that I knew and they knew me, and I wasn't striving to have like the Rick Rosses of the world, Larry King, and coming back full circle, like I said earlier, I've done like 300 interviews, anyone from Larry King to Rick Ross to Tillman Fertitta, I've had like I think 6 billionaires on the show now. And when I think about that, like sitting here on this podcast today, like if you told me that 2-3 years ago, I'd be like, there's no way. But like literally it's a domino effect, right? I started doing some interviews and I started building my brand more and my podcast became this vehicle to just have great conversations. And I became obsessed with it because it's something that, like we were talking about before, I'm just always so curious in other people's stories, like we're doing right now, like diving deep into someone and who they are and how they got there. Like I've learned everyone has a story. Everyone started from somewhere and it's easy to fall into the trap of comparing yourself to other people and you follow them on social media, and taking a step back and just hearing people's stories just brings it back to the beginning and it makes you realize like, hey, everyone's on their own journey and don't get caught up in comparison or judgment and just do you, build yourself. You're on your own journey. And I think that's what's definitely, you know, motivates me to just have more conversations.
So in my business team, I'd say over the last like 3 or 4 years, I've gotten like pretty good help from like two individuals that I think didn't make my career, because obviously my career wouldn't be anything without me, but like people I have taken the right advice from. That's one piece of advice like I've always given people, is like take advice from the right people.
Totally.
For instance, 2017, Casey Neistat was talking about just keep uploading. I don't know if you were in those vlog days watching Dave's
vlogs. I was,
vlogs,
for sure. I was watching Casey Neistat.
He had a very big statement saying just keep uploading. And like, that's the pure reason I have 10 million, is because I just didn't stop uploading.
That's
so
crazy.
Do you like feel the same way? Like take advice from the right people, but there's
absolutely
also a kind of, it's a hard thing because you also don't know when the good advice is from a bad person.
Yeah.
But are you a believer in that?
I think asking questions is everything to me, right? Yeah. Like you always have to, like, for me, I have a lot of mentors, right? I feel like everyone has mentors, even if they aren't officially your mentor. But
so do you exactly? Do you have people like that? I feel like I have two. Jessica, who does like my merchandise team, and then I have like Sean Holiday from Space Station Integrations in Utah.
Yep.
Like I feel like those two people have just like really helped sculpt me into the person I am. Do you have like specific people like that, or is it like you're asking questions from all sorts of people?
Yeah, I mean,
and it's kind of,
I could definitely pinpoint a couple like key people, but for me it's like every person that I speak to in some way is a mentor, right?
Yeah.
When it comes to like my podcast, like there's hundreds of people that have built crazy businesses and they're just crushing it in their own way that I take something from, right? And I mean, I think something as simple as like we talked about earlier, Larry King, he's not someone that I talk to every day in any sense, but when I spent time with him and we did the podcast, he talked about, he said, I never learned anything when I was talking, and just taking those simple truths and like bits of wisdom, but like actually living it is two different things. So I think he's definitely been someone that has made a huge difference in my life.
So it really comes down to taking the opportunity and like asking the questions.
Because for sure,
for me also, like whenever I meet a billionaire, or if I meet somebody, for instance, Gage, GG Exotics, like when I meet his dad, like I always make sure to ask the people, what would you want to tell your 20-year-old self?
Yep.
So I feel like you're the type of person that's not going to miss an opportunity like that. To like, let me make sure I learn something before I leave. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I feel like you definitely are the type of person to do that.
Absolutely.
Dude, let's talk about your money, bro. Are you smart with your money? Like, you're a smart kid. Like, let's.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think for me, my perception on money is quite different than anything I knew growing up. So it's like these last 5 years, it's been a learning curve, because like my parents are both 9-to-5 workers. They've worked in the same job for 20 years, and my parents never taught me money management, right? So like for me, it's been about just learning from the right mentors and figuring out how I can not only grow my money, but make smart decisions to keep it and to invest it and to save it. And I think it's been quite interesting the last 5 years, because every time I go back home, it's a whole different mindset. So just staying in the same mindset and actually building and growing it's been fun, but yeah.
So tell me, you founded a company called PodSwipe.
Yep.
You're an investor in a couple different companies. Tell me about those. Like,
yeah, so I'll break it down where I'm focused right now. So PodSwipe is actually a company I'm launching. Yep. We're launching early Q1.
Which I looked at and I was like, hey, this is perfect for
Yeah.
me. Like so, no plug intended, but like it looks like it's perfect for what you're doing.
Explain
it a little bit.
So it's funny because I've had a podcast for 3 years. I've done hundreds of interviews, and booking an interview with someone is not only a process, but it's all about, like, I've DM'd every single person I've had on my desk, like sitting in the DMs of Rick Ross or John Oringer, who's the founder of Shutterstock, and there isn't a place to go to book an interview on your podcast with high quality people. Like, there's a couple of different marketplaces that you can do it, but it's with Joe Schmo that just started their first podcast, or they're trying to get on their first interview to just sell something, and it's not genuine. So for me, PodSwipe is a guest booking marketplace to connect podcasters and guests with a streamlined communication and booking system. And for me, it's all about top tier, like great people who have amazing stories, that have an audience, and that have a platform, bringing them together with the intent of doing a podcast. Because the podcast industry, it's been growing year over year.
Dude,
like,
it's crazy.
This
it's
year,
really
the
becoming a thing.
The advertising revenue will be just tipping over $1 billion, when 2 years ago it was almost 100 million or 200 million, and it's continuing to like almost double year over year. So for me, like, I'm obsessed with the podcasting industry because I want to build a tool and solve a problem that I face myself.
Yep.
So it's been fun. Like, this has been a project that I've been working on the past 6 to 8 months, and we're going to be launching Q1, so I'm excited about it.
So that's solely your company.
Yep.
You started it.
Yep.
And then you're involved in a couple other ones.
Yeah. So something, I don't know if I've showed you the Moti app. Have you heard of it?
I've heard of it.
So there's a company called Moti, M-O-T-I, Money on Time Instantly. And we've been in the Apple App Store for just under 2 years. I came on board as a partner. I own some equity in the company, and it's been a journey, man, because if you don't know, it's a peer-to-peer consulting app where you can charge per time. So you can charge per minute for your time, $1 a minute, $5 a minute, all the way up to $1,000 a minute, and you can send on-screen invoices. And I'll show you a demo because it's like—
How does somebody like you get shares in a company? Like how did you pull that off? You know, being a 15-year-old kid that broke his neck, and now you're—
So when I was 17, I met the CEO, Hugo Sanchez. He's based out of New York, and we had a couple mutual friends, and we sat down, and he's 50 years old. He's built an amazing real estate portfolio. He had the biggest dry cleaning business in New York City, and he launched his app, self-funded it, bootstrapped it, created the product, and he was looking for someone to not be the face of it, but someone younger that understood what he built.
Okay.
And he ended up meeting me. We hit it off, right? And anyone that knows Hugo Sanchez, he's a beast. He's a gangster. Like he's a cool guy. And after just a couple conversations,
you were the right fit.
I was the right fit, and I was doing a lot of consulting at the time with different brands and personal brands. So I was like, dude, I would use this. I do use it, and it was just a perfect match.
Dude, that is awesome.
But it's been fun. Like that, we just raised a seed round, and we're hoping to raise a Series A in 2021. And it's grown a lot this year when it comes to like people doing online consulting. But yeah, it's a fun project to be a part of.
Okay, all right. Got a couple of little money questions here. Would you rather own a house or rent one?
So I personally live in an apartment right now, and I live by this philosophy that I learned from Grant Cardone, and I think it changes a lot. It says, rent where you live and own where you rent. And for me, like, I plan on getting into real estate next year and having a couple rental properties. But what his thesis is buy where you rent, meaning buy properties that you can rent out to build cash flow and build equity in the property, and rent where you live if your lifestyle is like that. Meaning for me right now, I don't love the thought of being tied up to something for 30 years or getting a mortgage, but it's also shifting. Shout out to Jacqueline Burnett, my lovely girlfriend. And I think for me, right now, though, I'm focused on building assets, investing in real estate where I could rent it out. But yeah, I think
that makes more sense to rent a house.
For sure.
I hear a lot of people saying that.
But it's also, I mean, because you own this house, right?
I do, yeah. So, like, again, I have a lot of money tied up in this house that I could be doing other things with.
Yeah, but I think for you, it's just like, it's such a content play. It's so good for someone that utilizes it like you do. Yeah. But yeah, I think that's my answer to that question. And it's different for everyone.
I've just recently, the past few months, gotten into like looking at rental properties. I'm looking at buying a 6-unit apartment building.
Okay.
Hopefully soon. We've been searching for 4 months.
Really?
I've had a couple like different mentor kind of people, I'd say. One was Gage's dad, he's a big real estate guy.
Yep.
There's this kid named Donald. He's a younger YouTube kid we film with. His dad's given us a bunch of advice. They were kind of saying like, stay local for your first couple of properties so you kind of know what's going on.
You can walk it and like see it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I've just been recently getting started in that. So that's going to be a cool thing to kind of talk about on the podcast over the next years it expands.
Dude, you should have Grant Cardone on the podcast for sure.
Dude, that'd be sick. Or get him out to Temecula. That's my only problem right now is Temecula. But we're going to work on that.
For sure.
What about crypto or stocks, man?
So,
or both, or none.
So I mean, cryptocurrency is like the hot topic right now.
Right now,
it just reached an all-time high. And funny enough, I just had Tyler Winklevoss on the podcast. Are you familiar with Tyler Winklevoss?
I saw your thumbnail.
So Tyler and Cameron Winklevoss, they were like, if you've seen the movie The Social Network,
I totally have.
So those were the
documentary.
Mm-hmm. Those were like the twins in the movie that like Mark Zuckerberg stole the idea from and went and built Facebook. So I just had Tyler Winklevoss on my podcast like 2 weeks ago, and they called them the Bitcoin billionaires because they bought Bitcoin when it was $9 each back in 2012.
I did the math just for fun.
It's crazy.
Just to piss myself off. In March, if you would have put $100,000 in Bitcoin, it'd be worth $700,000 right now.
Yeah.
Just in March of this year. It was $3,000 a coin in March. It got down to like $3,400.
Yep.
And then it broke 23 yesterday. Which is ridiculous. Yeah. Are you involved in crypto? Are you doing stocks?
I'm involved in crypto, but not that much. Like, it's something that I've dabbled in for a while. I've never like went all in on it, but I have.
Just so you don't regret not having a position.
Yeah, like my first time I invested in Bitcoin was when it was at like 4,000 back in maybe 2017, I think it was, or somewhere in there. And then I sold it. I haven't held it for the long term. But I mean, for me, I had this guy Anthony Pompalio on my podcast recently, and he says like, own, like, if you bet on something, like, go all in on it, right? Like, everyone talks about having, hey, you want to have your hands in many different projects. And you had him on your podcast too, Anthony. He's like, dude, he's going, like 90% of his net worth is tied up in Bitcoin, and they're, you know, they're the people that are pushing it to go to like 500,000. That's what Tyler Winklevoss said. He's betting that it's going to be $500,000 a coin, and the same people that said it wouldn't reach 100 say are saying it won't reach 1,000, 10,000. Now it's at 23,000, and everyone's like, it will never go to 100,000. I personally think, and I'm not a crypto expert at all.
Exactly. Me neither.
I mean, the way Tyler Winklevoss breaks it down, and you should definitely listen to the podcast.
Like, it makes sense.
He's a billionaire, and he talks about it being gold 2.0, meaning the market cap of gold is, I think, $7 trillion or $9 trillion. I think it was $9 trillion. Okay. And if Bitcoin takes over the asset class of gold and becomes gold 2.0, and it's a $9 trillion market cap, each coin will be bare minimum $500,000 a coin. And that's like his thesis in, like, in a simple way to break it down. And it makes sense because it's like gold. People aren't spending gold to buy a Starbucks cup of coffee. It's a place to keep your money. It's a store, a container of value, I should say. Same thing with Bitcoin. Like, you can spend Bitcoin, and there's like these Bitcoin credit cards coming out. But I'm a believer in it and a total evangelist for it, for sure.
Okay, cool. Next money question. Would you rather start your own company or invest in one?
I think right now in this phase of my life, I'm very excited to about not only starting a company or starting this new company, PodSwipe, because I want to learn leadership and scaling and hiring and firing and raising money, because one of my goals by 25 is to have a big venture capital firm and start investing into early stage companies. And I want to just go through the process of the failures, the successes of growing, starting, scaling.
You're here for the journey.
Exactly. Like,
not the destination.
I'm obsessed with the journey. So really? I want to...
Like, I have been having a problem with that. I really have. I wish I loved the journey more, but I don't know. That's why I'm trying to change. I mean, this podcast, I'm so excited for this journey.
For sure.
So this is finally a new exciting thing. I'm doing the same thing, making
I love that.
YouTube videos for so long, but I definitely understand where you're going with that.
Yeah, I think, you know, the journey of like hiring your first employee or raising capital and then growing the company when it comes to new customers or new users and then potentially having an exit, like that process of completing that.
Yep.
I think not only I need to do that before I start a venture capital firm, but it's a... You can't learn it by reading about it. Yeah. You can't learn it by watching it. So I'm excited to go through that process all the way through over the next 2, 3, 5 years.
Okay.
And I know along the way, I'll definitely be doing some angel investments, because even like right now, I have so many deals that get thrown across my table because like you know, your network is everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Where right now, I'm not an angel investor. I'm not investing into early stage companies. But it's definitely something that fires me up, because like talking to these early founders and people that are starting something that are so passionate about, it's definitely something I plan on doing for the long term.
So like, what is your overall purpose of life, would you say? Now that we understand your kind of money situation, and this is what I mean by it. Like, in the next 5 years, is your life goal to be a dad? Is your life goal to be the next Jeff Bezos? You want to be, you know, a Bill Gates and, you know, help also donate a bunch of money? Like, what is your goal? Like, you want to be
for sure. I mean, I think it always changes.
Also your meaning of life.
I love asking
people that question.
So I think this is a great time to say a shout out to my girlfriend, Jacqueline Burnett. So we've been dating for over 6 months now, and it's a funny story that we can dive into. But we just moved in together 2 months ago. It's been such a unique new learning experience about living with your significant other. So, I mean, for me, I'm excited and very thrilled about our relationship and where we're going and how we're building together. And I think for me, everything falls into these four categories. Hopefully I don't butcher this. It's family, finances. I forgot it already. Skip it. my buddy James says this, I was gonna try to nail it. But for me, my purpose in life is just capitalizing on what's in front of you, right? So like, for example, going all in on this relationship. I was the type of person that I was avoiding getting in any type of relationship the last 5 years. Like, since I was 15, I was like, I'm going all in on me. I'm betting on myself. And then how our relationship organically grew, it was just inevitable that it was to happen. So for me, this has been such a unique new experience that I'm excited about. And I think that falls into like where I'm going in life when it comes to buying a house and starting a family. Like, these things that I now think about, for me, like, it's exciting because Jacqueline's so exciting about it. But I, from a business perspective, I definitely always tell myself that, like, the word retiring scares me. Like,
really?
I always want to be building and growing and investing and always have that fire inside of me that keeps you going. Because it's easy to get, for me at least, like, complacent, where, like, for example, when 5 years ago, like, my goal was like, hey, I want to move to California. I want to live in California. If only I could have that one person on my podcast, like, with such as Rick Ross or Larry King. Having, and I'm sure you've experienced this, you hit that milestone, you hit that goal, 3 weeks goes by and you're like, damn, like I don't have that feeling. I'm not working towards something like I was, and that feeling just goes away.
I feel like that was a scary thing I experienced when I turned 18 and I bought this house. I mean, through 18 through being 20, like I had accomplished like all the goals I set for myself as as a 15-year-old kid. And once I started hitting them, it was kind of like these all didn't make me feel anything. And then I kind of had to evaluate what was important to me, which was a good thing because I grew up from it.
Yeah, and I think that's where I am. It's like learning from like the littlest things of like if you say, hey, you want to buy a car, you want to buy a house, and you do it in a small sense. Like if someone says, hey, they want to travel internationally, or like whoever's watching this, like whatever their goal is, if they want to write a book or get 1,000 followers on social media, even like the smallest things, once you do it, like the people that are truly motivated always are looking for the next thing and they always want more. And like I've had Elon Musk's mom on my podcast and his sister, and even his 72-year-old mom is thriving. She's a cover girl model. She's traveling all over the world with her book and doing all these book signings. She's 72. Her son's Elon Musk. She could be doing whatever she wants and just sitting on a beach, whatever. But she's so ambitious as a woman.
Yeah.
And like her book, A Woman Makes a Plan, I've dove into it a little bit. And it's just so cool to see like her mentality as someone that, you know, is created Elon Musk. She could be doing anything, like I said, but those type of people and how they think, I think we can all learn something from that about just always striving for more. And even Larry King, like he was 87 years old, and we both met Chance King, his son, at the Tillman Fertitta dinner last year.
Yep.
When I sat down with Larry King, he's 87 years old, and I asked him, I was like, what keeps you motivated? And he's like, the thing that's keeping me alive is doing this right now. Like his hunger to keep pushing, to keep doing what he loves is what he said has kept him alive for so long because he's so sharp and he's still so focused on learning and growing.
Yeah.
Where I think that's definitely where I see myself in the future. Yeah, just okay. That mentality at least.
That makes sense. So I guess you would say it's not so much of like, where do I see myself in 5 years? You don't know where you're going to see yourself for the next 50.
Yeah, I mean, I think that question is so hard because like it's hard to nail it. Where it's like if someone asked you 5 years ago,
it also puts a lot of pressure on. I mean, I do that to myself. I put pressure on myself. This is where I want to be in 5 years. And then as the years kind of start going along, you start kind of getting a little stressed out from it.
Yeah, yeah.
You're like
for
things
sure.
aren't going to plan. You kind of are just harding yourself. So I guess that's a kind of I learned something from you saying that.
And I think too, it's like Elon Musk has this quote. He says, "Write your 10-year goal." And why can't you do it in 6 months? And that's obviously how Elon Musk thinks.
I've heard him say that.
But it's like, it's real. Like you could, if you set a certain goal, you could accomplish it way sooner. You're giving yourself maybe too much time for something where it's like,
wait around for it.
Yeah. So I think it's about just having like every year, I'm doing this right now. Towards the end of December, I sit down and I go through my camera roll and I go through January, February, March, all the way to December. And I pick my lesson of the month.
Yep.
And by the end of the year, I have like my 12 lessons that I learned this year.
Really? That's unique.
And I always try to step into the new year with like a crystal clear vision of what I did wrong.
You go back through your memories and your photos. Your
camera roll. Because for me, that's like...
And it brings back memories of things that happened?
Yeah, like where I was, what I was doing,
and then you go,
what I was thinking.
Oh, right, I should have remembered this.
Yeah, I write like, I was here, or like, let's say not this year because I wasn't traveling as much, but I say, I was going through this, or I was working on this, and maybe this went right, check mark, or this went wrong.
I
write down my lesson of the month because that's like an easy way to pick like, okay, these are my 12 lessons. My 12 lessons this year. And I did this for the first time last year, and now I'm continuing the new tradition this year. And I think for me, that's always been very important. Like I'm an avid journaler. Like Jacqueline would know this. Like I have 600-page journals where I'll wake up, write 3 pages or just bullet points or just scramble my thoughts, write 10 ideas a day. And for me, like just writing in a journal lets me just let go and dump my mind into something. And I think that's definitely a habit that has not only moved me forward, but helps me keep myself accountable through those periods of like, hey, where do I want to be in a year? It's like before you make the future goal, figure out what you've done right, what you've done wrong, and what to avoid so that you can not make those decisions again to lead you back to where you were. So,
and that says a lot about your character, to be honest. The fact that you can be adamant on yourself about making self-improvements like that, like that's huge in itself, and like you should be proud that you even, because a lot of people are not like that, man. A lot of people, like it's 1% of people, I bet, can actually make like conscious decisions about things that they know will help them in the future. So that's awesome. Let me transition into this. Are you happy?
100%.
no doubt in your mind, you're happy all the time.
I would say I'm the happiest person I know, but Jacqueline definitely has me beat on that. But I would say, and like you can ask, you know, Kieran and Jeff, like I am 100% of the time so happy, and things could be going so wrong. I could have missed my flight. Like I always am just genuinely, and this isn't like a front. I'm just like grateful every single day. I don't know why. It's
but you don't know why. Like you really don't know why. Why?
That's a great question.
You gotta know why.
Yeah, I mean, I think like, it's a. I think it's
you
a combination.
Could just love the air. I don't know.
I think it's a combination of, like for example, I have this new book that I'm loving right now. It's The Daily Stoic by Ryan Holiday, and every single day you just read this short, simple quote from a philosopher in like the 3rd century or you know early BC, and I'm in this chapter where it's talking about your demise, your death, and this is a very like dark subject, but it's like if you really do the math about how much time you have on this earth and how many days you have to live, how many hours, seconds, minutes, and just think about time, there's nothing you shouldn't be grateful for when you think about it. Like for me, I've had the pleasure of not having anyone really close in my family pass away, and like thinking about my family and what they're doing, I'm just so grateful for what I have, my family, my friends, my relationships, my career, where I always ask myself like, what more can I do for them and how can I serve them more? But I think, why am I happy?
Let me ask you this question before you continue the happy question.
Yeah.
Do you drink or smoke?
So I used to smoke a lot of weed, and I never really say this candidly on a podcast, but—
If you don't, we can cut it at the end.
This is chill. But I don't really smoke. I never have smoked tobacco. That's not a big fan. But weed, big advocate.
And that had no effect on your happiness?
No. I mean, funny story, and you can keep this in here. So when I was— the first time I smoked weed was when I was 13. So I had 2 older brothers. They're like good, bad influences. And I smoked a lot. Like I guess you could say my party phase, I've never said this, was like 13 to 15, right before my neck injury.
Damn.
That's when I was like—
You got it
like,
out early.
I feel like—
I even got my party phase.
I was too afraid to touch it at 13. Like, Okay.
I don't know what it was. I think it was like Wiz Khalifa was my favorite musician at the time. I had an older brother.
Wiz Khalifa was a personality trait.
Watched high school.
So fun fact, this is actually a later story. I've actually smoked weed with Wiz Khalifa one time, and the story behind it is hilarious. But to your question—
Well, if Wiz Khalifa offers you a joint—
You don't matter.
No matter where you are in the world and what country you're in and how illegal it is, you have to do it.
For sure.
Yeah, you don't say no. It's like Snoop Dogg. You just don't say no.
You could not say no to Snoop Dogg.
It's a disrespectful thing to do. Mm-hmm.
Dude.
But I don't think it's like— I love like a glass of champagne on New Year's or a big wine guy, but I don't drink often or smoke anymore.
How much you consume social media?
I would say too much for sure.
What's your screen time?
I think yesterday was like— right now today, we're obviously driving down here. I have right, front, and center. 4 hours today.
That's
good. That was a lot of navigation
and
stuff.
That's good, man.
But I have probably average like 6.5 hours a day.
Me too.
But I try to keep it right in front of me. And I sometimes look at it and I cringe. I'm like, why do I spend so much time on my phone?
You know what I think about? Say it's 8 hours. You sleep 8 hours. You're on your phone 8 hours. You have 8 hours of being conscious
in the day.
8 hours,
What's your screen time, bro?
My screen time is really not that high. It's probably like 2 hours a day.
Wait.
No way, Maverick. You're on your phone more than anyone I know.
2 hours a day?
Oh, actually, no, right. Yeah. Okay, I've been playing Pokemon Go like crazy right now.
It's like, oh, actually, it's 12.
So it's probably like 12. It's probably something high.
I want you to pull that up, Maverick. And then you had some good questions for Casey, too, whenever you want to whip them out. Bro, I want to talk about this, bro. What's it like having a girlfriend doing what you do? I'm in the same boat as you a little bit. We obviously do like different things. You're a podcast host. I make YouTube. I mean, now I'm a podcast host.
So. Hey, first podcast.
Now we do the same thing. But like, I have found it so hard, and everything in my life, I have to be 0% out of it or 100% into it, or like it blows up in my face. Like everything I do, I can't mentally get by having a girlfriend and doing this as work. How does that work for you? It's just your life, your dynamic. It works.
I think the greatest thing about Jacqueline and I is we were best friends before we started dating. Like, I've known Jacqueline for 3 years. Like, we met at the first event I ever spoke at. It was actually an event in San Diego. I flew my dad and I out there. It was the first time I ever spoke at an event. We met just briefly, and full circle, like, she's just been someone I've known for the past 3 years. She spoke at my event that I had in Scottsdale. She was huge into crypto. Like, she's a boss. And it was funny. It was, I think, last August, maybe, like last summer, I was in LA. We got coffee. She actually came to a podcast interview I was doing, and we started just hanging out more. I was about to book a hotel room, and she said, hey, just like come crash on my couch. And it became a thing where, like, no, like, dude, here, and yeah, she would say this. She would say this. I had zero intentions, like, absolute zero intentions to ever date her, to ever try to pull up on her or anything. Like, I was
pull up on her.
Like,
I mean, would you say you're a simp?
No, dude, I mean, I just
is
always
Casey Adams.
Absolutely not.
The world wants to know, man.
Jacqueline, you want to answer this question?
Is Casey a simp? Casey, it's okay if he's a simp. I feel like I'm a simp.
Loving, joyful, caring human.
He's a man. That's what he is. He's not a simp. He's a man.
True gentleman.
Yes. True gentleman.
He's a man. He's not a simp. He's a man. He treats he treats women with respect.
But
you don't see no conflict like in your.
No, I mean, so to the story, and I'll speed it up. So
no, you're good, bro.
We end up.
We got time.
We ended up just like every time I come to LA, I'd crash on a couch or whatever, and it turned into like I would come for 3 days, and every time I came to LA, I was like constricted on time. Right, I would book a hotel room for 3 nights, and I would do my interviews, I would have my meetings, and I would be in and out. Now that I had this, I guess you could say new home, I would end up coming to LA on a one-way ticket. I would end up staying for 3 days, or she'd be like, hey, just stay for however long you want. And then it would turn into like a week. And we just started hanging out so much where it was just such an organic buildup of she became such a close person in my life that I would tell everything to, that I would do everything with. And it just organically grew as a friendship. Yeah. I think that's the most important thing, just based on looking back at the relationship on why it works so well now. A, because we were genuinely friends before we started dating. And number two, like, I think this is the most important. Like, she just gets what I do in the world that
and
I'm
you
in.
You probably both understand each other. I mean, she's in the business too.
Yeah.
You're busy a lot.
Absolutely. She has her own business. She manages clients. Her cousin Dave Meltzer, shout out to Dave, he's been like a mentor of mine for over 2 years, so it's just like she's in my world where it was so easy to make it work. And I think just the last 6+ months that we've been dating, it's been very new to me, and it's been phenomenal. Like, she even today, like, she was not gonna come, but then she wanted to come, and she just loves being with me. I love being with her, and it's just a great vibe.
I love that, man.
Shout out to Jacqueline Burnett.
I love that for you. It's hard to find a girl that you like actually want to bring somewhere, and it's not like you're something you're
especially with Tanner,
especially for me, bro.
For like, sure.
That's like,
what's your dating life
problem.
Look like, Tanner? Let's talk about it.
My dating life is like, it's not good. Like, I am a tornado. I met my last ex-girlfriend. I told her when we started dating, I said, I'm going to warn you right now. I am a fucking tornado. Like, and I will fuck your whole city up. And like, and like,
not lying.
And you know what's funny? 6 months later, bro, I told her. I was like, what did I say? She's like, you did fucking warn me. Like, I don't know. I'm just crazy, dude. Like, you seem like a person that's so good at balance. You have a great balance in your life, it seems like. I don't, man. Like, I have like 100% in, 100% out. Like,
okay.
If I'm doing good on YouTube, I'm not eating like as much as I should be.
Okay.
If I'm eating as much as I should be, I'm not doing YouTube as much as I should be.
Okay.
Like, I don't know what it is. I also have really bad ADHD.
Okay.
I don't know if that plays into it at all, but my dating life is like, it's not good. Like, this is the thing. Even when I meet a nice girl, like, I start like, you know, liking what's going on.
Yeah.
It's good vibes. And then as soon as I start catching feelings, I get scared, bro. And then I start being a dick.
Like, out of like a defensive mechanism.
Yeah. I've also not had the best history with having people in my life for longer periods of time in my life, so that probably plays a little bit of it. But I just like, Maverick could speak on my dating life, I feel like, better than I could.
What about you, Maverick? Let's get you more involved in the conversation.
Well, yeah. I mean, wait, have you ever been heartbroken? Is that why you're going so?
Yeah, is this your first love?
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, man.
First true love. So it's like, Jacqueline,
be nice to him.
Jacqueline, it's on you.
No, she'll be nice, I can tell.
Yeah, no, but yeah, no, it definitely is like, I've avoided it. Like, I've had a girlfriend when I was like in middle school, right? Oh. But it's like, as a conscious adult and a man that has his career, and I live across the country, I have no family out here, it's like, she feels such an important bucket for me that, yeah, it is my first time. That may be a benefit, but it also, yeah, it's a benefit. That's all, 100% benefit. But yeah.
Dude, What do you got to say, Matt? You've been real quiet over there.
Oh, I've just been listening.
You've been listening? Is it a good podcast? You enjoying it?
This is awesome.
You enjoying it?
I'm absorbing all that I can into this right now.
Okay.
So, hey, wait. So why did you stop smoking weed?
Wow. Well, funny enough, I still do every now and then, so I haven't stopped.
Hey, you haven't stopped? Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, we're in California. Actually, I just had the founders of this beverage called Can on the show. I just showed you the drink earlier.
Outside, yeah.
And it's like this THC-infused beverage, and it's like a social tonic cannabis-infused drink. Super cool. Like, you have one.
You got equity?
I do not. So
when you get on that.
I should.
you out here promoting it?
Dude, and here's the thing, too. Like, I always think about whatever you do. Like, I live by it's called The Law of Giving. One of my favorite books is the Seven Spiritual Laws of Success, and it has, I think it's the third law is, the Law of Giving. Like, whatever you give comes back tenfold. Like, even here.
I completely agree with that.
Like, before I came to your house, we were at Starbucks, right? And I was like, yo, do you want anything? I paid for the person behind me. And I always try to do little things like that. That just, you know, if you can do it. My buddy Charlie Rocket, he always says, I'm on a winning streak. That's like his philosophy.
Yeah, Charlie, that's when you get the journal thing. I wanted to bring that up.
Have you seen his podcast, Charlie and Logan?
I watched the Impulsive one, yeah.
I have a funny story about Charlie and I, but he has this whole mentality of like, I'm on a winning streak. And, you know, like he just raised $500,000 and he's literally traveling all around the country right now, like giving back to people in need. And like, if you talk to him and have a conversation with him, he is probably the happiest person I know, right? And he's literally devoting 100% of his time to documenting him and his team giving away toys and money and giving away cars and all this crazy stuff. And for me, like, simple promotions or when people send me products and I throw them up on my story.
I completely understand.
It's just like showing love to someone and what they do and you're like genuinely interested in it and like support them. It comes back tenfold. And I think a lot of people that try to restrict that wall, that's why they may be unhappy or they lack happiness, is because they're not letting the things in their life flow. Like David Meltzer always says, it's like flow through them, where it's like if someone offers you a compliment or someone has an opportunity for you, if you're just shutting people down out of your life or you can't be open and giving for something, like it's hard to receive it if you're not willing to give it, you know?
Wow, that was deep.
But yeah, cannabis.
That opened my eyes a little bit.
I love it, bro.
I love that. People take notes.
It's like the law of giving, dude.
Feel like that. I feel like whenever like I give somebody or my time to anybody, it's like always do it without anything. You don't expect
for
anything
sure.
in return.
Yep.
Like genuinely, because then you're not disappointed in any way.
Absolutely.
It's the same thing like going into like a new business venture with no, like you have no idea of, you're not telling yourself, oh, it better do 30 million or whatever. It's just like, I'm really excited to release this product. And then if you do $10 or $20 in sales, you're like, dang, two people like this.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Absolutely.
And I think that's always the mindset I've gone into everything. It's like same with this, bro. I mean, this studio wasn't like free.
Yeah,
but like
I'm also
I'm excited to do this. I don't have like a plan in my head of being like, you know, in a year,
totally.
I better be making this much. I'm literally just like, okay, I just want to get it there and have the tool there and ready to use it. And
yeah,
boom.
Yeah, and it will come to you just through putting out content, dude. And especially for you, like I'm excited about this podcast because like with your audience and your fan base, it's going to blow up. And like for me to be the first guest, I'm just like, let's go, because this is going to be a huge show. Like, as someone that's a podcaster.
Did we even say that in the beginning? Yeah, I did. I did briefly. I said, you're the first.
Yeah,
person.
Yeah. This is like, I'm just like thinking about it in the future. And I'm like, dude, you're going to have, like, this is going to be a huge show. And like, not only the advertisers and the money that you can make, but like the people you can have on is going to be dope. I already see
it. And alone the speaking skills.
Absolutely.
Like, fluent conversations. Like, we've been talking for already 49 minutes. Like,
wow.
Just straight.
Time flies.
Just talking.
I actually think that's a huge benefit of podcasting is if I jump into any room, like I can carry a conversation and continue on with that person. When I was in school, I would hate to go up and public speak and talk about a project. Like I was never really an introvert, but I was never a natural extrovert. Where like now I love being social and talking and meeting people. And
you
know,
feel like
I'm a networking
grown a lot from doing the podcast.
Though. Absolutely. Like if you go back and listen to the first podcast I did and like how I'm stuttering and how I'm trying to like read these questions I had exactly word by word to now, like every interview I go into, I have zero questions.
Yeah.
It's literally
really?
Just, yeah, zero questions. It's my curiosity that leads the conversation. Like I have things that I want to talk about and I do my research on the person, but I just base the conversation off the natural conversation that we would have as two people on a mic. So
dude,
it definitely
awesome.
Opens up your mind to like the art of the conversation for sure.
All right, man, you're dedicated. You're happy. You're smart. You're all the right things. Why did you help me with my podcast? Like, for what? Like, I know we're, yeah. we know each other, but like you went out of your way to like talk to my sister on the phone
for sure
and help us with the right product. Like, why? Is that the same thing going back to your conversation about giving?
Yeah, dude, 100%. Like, it's truly the law of giving. Like, if there's ever an opportunity to give, do it. Like, that's my philosophy. And I think, too, it's like when you see if someone's been not only someone in your life that you support and you like what they do, but if you can help them and you if you say no to giving, like, what does that say about you, right? Like, I always look back and I always try to think of my life in like a 100-year window where I'm like, would I be proud? Would my future self be proud of me if I said yes to this opportunity? Or would my future self be proud of me if I said no?
I think that's a level of self-awareness a lot of people don't have.
Totally. And I think a simple thing like helping you start a podcast, like, that excites me, right? Yeah. It's not even a decision.
Again, I'm the same way, bro. I just,
for sure.
I'm asking you.
No, absolutely. And I think, too, like the law of giving, like seeing something go from like, hey, I want to start this podcast to being able to help a good friend and get them situated in the microphones with an area that I specialize in, like that fuels me. And being able to see it come to life and be the first guest now, like, exactly. Yeah. Here's my point, though, because there was never an intention. I'd love like talking to your sister, helping with the podcast, telling her the equipment, and then now like when I see the studio come to life, I DM you on Instagram. I'm like, bro, it looks sick. Then you're like, dude, like you should come on. And like,
three days ago,
that was never an intention at all. But that act of putting that out into the universe and helping you with the show, like this is a visual, like, outcome of what it looks like to give is it just comes back tenfold.
Yeah.
And even too, like something funny, my good friend Jens, do you know Jens Peterson?
I don't.
So he
not from Europe.
Okay.
He's the Shark Tank guy or no?
No. Okay. He's like he manages a bunch of cool influencers, but this is a crazy story that happened recently. He was like he bought a bunch of PS5s and I was trying to get one for one of my friends and he didn't have any more. And he I hit him up like last week because he got more. And I was like, hey, do you have any? Like, I'd love to buy one or I'd love to get one for my friend because it was actually Dave Meltzer, her cousin. And he's like, yeah, I do. Like, who do you want to, who is it for? And I go, Dave Meltzer. And he's like, dude, no way. Like, I love Dave's content. I heard he's a great guy. Is that true? And I go, absolutely. Dave has been a mentor to me for 2 years. He's the most thoughtful, kind person. One of the most thoughtful, kind people I know.
Yeah.
And he's like, man, I would love to just give him a free PS5. Like, can you connect us and I'll make it happen? And then late 2 days ago, Dave texts me. He's like, dude, thank you so much. Like, we just got the PS5. It's for his kid. And then here's the thing. Here's like talking about full circle. They had a PS5 that wasn't the right one, or his son Miles, like it wasn't the right one. Now they're giving that PS5 to a family that couldn't afford one for Christmas, and it's a Christmas gift. So it's like little actions that just come back and mean so much to someone. That's what genuinely fuels me, bro. And that's what goes back to your question of being happy and actually like falling in love with the process and the journey. Because you can't predict what's in the future, but you can predict the actions and your intentions behind everything you do.
Yeah, I feel like just sitting here and listening to your, like, we did your podcast for me, so it was a different conversation. But
for sure.
Just sitting here, I feel like you're just so upbeat and positive and you take all the right opportunities and you have your eyes open. And are you religious? I don't know if that's something you...
I mean, not really right now. Like, I would say no. Like, I grew up in like a Christian family.
Okay.
I stopped going to church when I was like 5 years old. I definitely.
Do you feel like you're like?
I'm more spiritual for sure. Like,
really?
I believe there's
a whole other can of worms, bro. I went down that rabbit hole.
Like, for me, it's like I'm not tied to any religion, but I love the thought of like, why are we here? Like, how the hell did we get here?
You heard of the Anunnaki?
I have not. What is that?
Oh, God, I don't even speak on it, but it's a podcast. It's like a story of like, it's like a conspiracy theory about how humans got here.
Okay.
But it's a whole...
Yeah, but I'm definitely not religious. I'm more so...
I don't know the story enough to tell it,
for sure.
Would.
Definitely more spiritual, like believing in the simple, like what you...
Your chakras are aligned, is what you're telling me?
I'm not that spiritual at all.
Do you have sodium-free toothpaste?
I do not.
You don't, bro? Say you're spiritual?
I don't think so.
You be ingesting sodium fluoride?
I don't know.
Do you know about your pineal gland?
I don't.
You know, like your third eye in your brain?
Yes. I'm not a
so what
expert
what,
about that.
It's more just energy, right?
Energy, dude. Energy for sure.
Oh, that's just your personality.
Yeah, like I base my life off of energy, right? If like when it comes to meeting someone, the energy they give me, like not like you're judging someone, but if you give good energy to someone and you do things for the right reason, you're intense, pure, like it will definitely come back. But yeah, I think this is a period of my life where I'm like, I'm not religious, but I'm open to like learning. Spirituality and learning,
yeah.
But it's different for everyone.
Totally.
What about you?
I would say I'm a Christian. I wouldn't like claim that as like a super hard title. I don't practice it like as much as I'd like to. I'm getting more into it this year.
Yep.
But I would say that I am.
For sure. You want to know something I learned recently? So Jacqueline is Jewish, right? It's been hot. This is actually a funny story. It's been Hanukkah the last 8 days. Yesterday was the last day of Hanukkah.
Okay, yeah.
This is like the first time I ever celebrated Hanukkah. I've never did this before. So get this. I'm going to try to nail it. So this is what you say before you light the 8 candles on the menorah, right? Is that right, Jacqueline?
Mm-hmm. Okay, I used to play with
here
I go.
Things, so this is like the prayer you say. All right, here I go. Baruch Ata. Wait, what's it? Baruch Ata.
Explode.
One more time. All right, here we go. All I need is the first three. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Malik. Whoa.
Yo, what's that, bro?
Say it again, one more time. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Malik Ha'olam Asher Kiddushanu B'mitzvata V'tzivanu Lahadlik Ner Shel Hanukkah. So that's like the Christian prayer. And
what does that mean?
So I don't know what it means in English, but it's what you say before. But I want to talk about something about how I remember.
You want to talk about dreidels.
So I'm a huge advocate of just like, how do you optimize your brain? And one of my favorite book by Jim Quick, he talks about how to remember certain things. So the way I remembered that, this is how my brain works about remembering that. So every word I said, I look at the first letter. So Baruch Ata Adonai. This is how I remembered it. So Jim Quick, he's like a brain training expert. He's taught Will Smith and all these.
You're just like a superhuman, dude.
Yeah, like a dictionary.
So, like how are you so smart and you smoke weed? For real. How does your brain work on this everything. Level?
But dude, get this. So there was 10 words in this book. And I'm going to say 10 words right now. And you can look in the book. And this is, he says, I will teach you how to remember these 10 words. And you will remember them forever. So this is the 10 words. Hold on. Fire hydrant, balloon, battery, board, diamonds, barrel, ox, toothpaste,
you
sign.
You could be saying anything
and,
right now, bro.
There's one more. I got 9. No, but dude, I'll look in the book. But long story short, this is the thesis of how I remembered this Jewish prayer. So Baruch Ata Adonai, this is how I think of it. I think about my body. I go body, arm, and then Eloheinu Malik Ha'olam is ear, mouth, head. Think about each letter. And then it's Asher Kiddushanu. I think my body is in a chair because I'm a kid. Asher Kiddushanu. Bo mitzvah ta vitzivanu.
What in the fuck is going on? But,
well, no, I get it because like when I was trying to learn Japanese.
You have to figure out how to remember it and tell a story in your brain to remember complex things. This is what Jim Quick talks about. And it's like,
I see things in pictures.
Visual learner, for sure.
Yeah.
There's like visual, kinesthetic, and auditory. Those are like the three like basic ways you can learn, but that whole thesis of like how I remember that is how I try to learn new things about like remembering a story. So it's like body, arm, ear, mouth, head, chair, kid, back, very hurts, and then I knew the rest. But long story short, like these type of brain training games is what I obsess over. Like she was like, Jacqueline goes, hey, you have to remember this by the end of Hanukkah. And I literally didn't think about it, but then on day 6, I was like, oh gosh, I have not put any time into this. But then I sat down, took it through the exercise, and then I nailed it like the 5th time.
This man.
But yeah, no, it's, we got on a tangent right there. Well, but no,
that's all good, bro. That's all,
we'll see how
I love
next
hearing
year.
How your brain works. Maverick, you have any questions you want
to Yeah, what type
problems?
Of, do you listen to any like what type of like 20-year-old activities do you do?
Oh,
that's
for
a good
sure.
question.
That is a great question.
That's a good fucking question.
Like I've been hearing like 40-year-old. Like,
so, I would say I'm a huge snowboarder. All right, I try to be. We're trying
Dude,
to plan.
And you're good.
I try to be. I really want to go to Big Bear tomorrow. We were like trying to plan it. And
have you ever been?
We went last year once. Do you snowboard, right?
Yeah, I was supposed to go for my birthday, but my nuts
really
are
okay. I love snowboarding. Recently, I haven't been working out as much, but I love working out, going on runs. We live like right near Santa Monica in Marina del Rey, so I love just like ever since I moved to California, I've been doing like daily beach walks.
So you do like 30-year-old
activities. I love reading. I love reading. I love
30-year-old activities.
You're a superhero.
I don't know. Yeah. I'm trying to think. Like 20-year-old activities. Like
snowboarding. What type of music
do you ever just
to?
Scroll on TikTok for 3 hours?
Not 3 hours. But like I definitely go on TikTok maybe once a week. Instagram is where I spend a lot of my time.
Once a week?
I definitely listen to a lot of more podcasts than anything. But
moral of the story is be more like Casey.
No. Everyone has to be themselves.
You're happy as fuck, bro.
Yeah.
I wish I was as happy
what,
as you.
What did you say just now? You said...
what type of music do you listen to?
A lot of hip-hop, for sure.
A lot of hip-hop?
And, like name some artists.
My favorite artist is Russ, for sure.
Oh, really?
Like, he's the most, like, in my opinion... He's not someone that just raps to raps. Like, he's very methodical and lyrical, and he talks about investing in assets and family and, like, things that actually...
He's a San Diego guy. No?
He's from Atlanta.
Russ is
Atlanta.
Not.
Atlanta.
Why did he have some beef with a San Diego guy? Is that not Russ?
That was Russ. He had some beef about because someone... Because before, like, there was, like, a meme to be, like...
Be like Russ.
You like Russ's music. Or
yeah,
that was a meme.
He's definitely been memed, but...
He got his ass beat in San Diego. Was that what it was?
No. He beat Smoke Perp's ass.
Oh. Never mind.
But, you know, Russ is definitely one of my favorite artists. He's, like, definitely a top five person I want to have on my podcast. I've interviewed, like, his really good friend, business partner, Boogus, who's also a rapper. But back to favorite artists, Russ... I've been really digging Jack Harlow. He's super dope. His whole album, I've just been listening to it on repeat. But that's like a new, like, hey, he got style, he got flow, I like it. Wiz has always been just a classic, okay. Someone that I respect. Logic is dope. I mean, I listen to hip hop all over the spectrum of like DaBaby and all the new
up and
comers.
Logic's book, Supermarket?
I have not. No.
Oh, it's so good.
You read it?
I read it. That's how you know.
Really?
That's how you know.
I don't even know he had a book.
Yes. It's under his real name, book, Bobby. Bro. Bobby.
When did
Bobby Tarantino.
Yeah, it's under his real name.
Okay.
But it's called Supermarket.
Okay.
Super good.
And then speaking of music too, Jacqueline Burnett, my girlfriend, is a complete opposite of me when it comes to music. We were actually having a very
intense. What do you like?
We're having an intense discussion last night.
Jazz.
No, country.
You like country music?
Classic rock.
Classic rock. I like good Michael Bublé. Like, I like real music, singing.
Yeah, I like acoustic singing shit.
I love singing.
You know who Conan Gray is?
Conan who?
Conan Gray.
I don't know that.
I just found him. He's great.
Okay. Right. Michael Bublé is awesome, though.
I love, like, Justin Bieber acoustic singing shit.
Yep.
Okay. Okay.
Well,
Deep House.
And then you're Wiz Khalifa.
I don't listen to him that often, but I just love him as an artist and, like, as a brand and as a person. Like, I interviewed his manager, Will DeZombach. Him and Wiz, like, they started Taylor Gang together. Will's the CEO of Taylor Gang. And, like, I've been to a bunch of Wiz, like, his concerts and everything. So, like, I'm just not only a fan of, like, what they've built, but just to see how they've moved and shaked over the last 10 years. Like, Wiz Khalifa was the first person to smoke weed on MySpace. And, like, the way he's been able to reinvent himself and just become this, like, you know, there's Snoop Dogg, then there's Wiz. And now it's like, okay, who's next in terms of, like, that pothead rapper artist that has sustained time and now
that
they're getting
true.
Into
there
that like OG level
version.
You know what I'm saying? So definitely that. What about you? Favorite musicians?
I'm a big fan of Justin Bieber's music.
Okay.
So I would say he's up there for sure.
Do you
I like underground, like, I don't know, I kind of like change who I like every like month. Like right now I
for
like
sure.
this new artist, Kevin Powers.
I have not heard of him.
I just found him. I use one of his music in my YouTube videos, and then like some acoustic guy, I like Sam Tompkins.
Okay,
these are all like low key guys. He's a UK UK singer. But dude, anyways, it's already been an hour and 5 minutes.
Yeah, we're rolling.
So I want to just wrap it up and kind of say like, what are you working on? What can we expect from Casey in the next year when you turn 21? What's the future look like? When
yeah,
you
yeah.
having kids?
Don't point at me like that.
She's probably ready.
So I turned 21 in July, so I still got, you know, 8 months left in my 20 youth. But yeah, I mean, the next year for me, it's been fascinating because like the year 2020 has been, you know, very different for everybody. Like you wouldn't, if someone sat us down last December and said, hey, what are you looking forward to in 2021? You would not know what to expect across the pandemic and COVID.
I guess looking at how this
year
went.
Yeah, just looking at the year and how things have shifted and how things have moved online and how like the biggest companies are going into like work, you know, remotely. But for me, looking into 2021, I'm super excited about PodSwipe when it comes to actually going through the process of building and launching a software and going through that process. I'm amped about it. The Modi app is something that I'm just always an evangelist about. But I mean, I think for me on the grand scheme of things, it's always about laying out new goals and how can I improve, right? So if it's like, if I read an X amount of books in 2020, like I always try to separate my life in quadrants, right? There's like the family and my parents and Jacqueline, there's family, there's business, there's personal, then there's like, what can I add to that? But long story short, super excited about the podcast. Some of my dream interviews are like the Joe Rogan, Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos. Like, I'm trying to lock those in yeah, in the next like 1, 2, 3 years. And I never want to set a time frame on it, but I think for me, it's just about becoming the next generation. I like to say like Joe Rogan when it comes to interviewing conversations from a brand perspective. I definitely want to do something with my podcast is like do some sort of like you saw, I'm sure Joe Rogan did the Spotify deal for like $100 million. Yeah. So like that's always my grand vision is like, hey, how can I build a show that not only is at that level, but where do I need to focus to get there? So podcast, PodSwipe, tech stuff, bunch of cool stuff. And dude, I'm just excited about the future. Like every day, like you said from the start, and I'll end it here, is just like the same energy I have right now is how I live every day of my life. Like pure gratitude, happiness, just filled with like what's next and growth. And I think anyone that's watching this, like if you took anything from this conversation.
I have honestly taken like, from this conversation.
Write down every single day like what you're grateful for and what makes you happy and try to do more of those things. And if you do those every day, like you will become a better person day after day, year over year.
Starting
and,
today.
Yeah, I think, you know, today on the No Fox Given podcast, this is day one for you, right? It's just like applying those different habits and disciplines is the most important thing. So yeah. That's
I love it, man.
What I'm
Where
excited
can we
about.
Follow you?
So it's Instagram at Casey. That's the best place. And my podcast is called Rise of the Young. And then I'm everywhere, Twitter, TikTok. But love Instagram it, is, and actually too, I've been actually trying to go harder on YouTube.
Let's go.
So my YouTube is just Casey Adams. So
awesome, man.
Yeah, thanks
well,
for having me
thank
on, bro.
You, dude, thank you for coming on.
This was a great
it was a
time.
Pleasure, dude.
Dude, Maverick,
gotta,
like, yeah, this is a vibe.
If we're gonna like have you sign something, or, like we gotta do something, I feel like, that like every guest does.
For sure.
So we gotta figure out that right now. That is the end of episode one. More from Maverick next episode.
Yeah, of course.
Thank you guys for watching, subscribing, listening, whatever you're doing. We appreciate it. Check out Casey Adams and everything. Check out Maverick on everything. And don't check me out on anything, please. Thank you. I'll see you in the next episode.
Peace.
Peace.
Later.